This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with body language expert Susan Constantine. She's also president of the Human Behavior Academy. You said that you believe there is an increase, and I'm paraphrasing here, in sociopathic type behavior that's not super detectable. I'm curious. I have my theories, and I completely agree as to why that is. When I look at it, I go, it's because people don't have the interpersonal relationships anymore. Everything's on your phone. The reactions to people, you're not having them, or generations of people who were brought up not ever doing that or living that or demonstrating that behavior themselves or seeing it demonstrated. That's why I feel like we're kind of getting into this world of sociopaths. What's your thoughts?
We have normalized lies and deception.
Yeah.
And now with so much stimulus, and to your point, you know, that is a big problem. You know, people are not, they don't have the interpersonal skills. They're more on the internet. They have friends and communities and so forth. They're communicating with, they think that they're friends. They're nothing but full friends. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a real move of deception. And I know that it gets really dark when you think about it, but when you see, we have, and in fact, I've had to work a little bit on myself because I see so much of this dark stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And so my writer says to me, how do you decompress? And that actually was good for me because I said to me, you know what? I need to decompress, because when you see and you think about and you see all this horrible stuff all the time, how do you then pull back and be grounded, know what's normal? Mm-hmm. So I think that with so much true crime that's out there, even your show,
sure.
With all of them. I mean, I'm talking about the CSI factors. We've glamorized crime. Mm-hmm. And so, it, you know, these now they're considered celebrities, right? So there's a lot going on with that, that you've got these copycat killers, you've got these thrill seeker killers, you've got the terrorists, the killers, you've got young children now killing because of the violence that they're seeing on television. They're normal. It's like normalized, especially when you see these video games. All they're doing is shooting up people, beating each other up, raping women. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
So I think that we are in a place where people are losing their sense of groundedness of what is reality, mm-hmm. and humanity and feeling and emotion and relationships and connectiveness and love. All of these things it's just becoming a very me generation. It's all about me, what I can get, what I can gain. And I'm not saying this for all of us. Truly, I'm not picking on any of your viewers. Sure. I'm saying that there are people that are mentally not stable are very impressionable, that when they have this stimulus, oftentimes I think it causes a person to become immune to the murder and death, et cetera. And we see this like even in our cases, like in Casey Anthony. I don't know if you knew this or not, but they normalized Casey because they placed her directly in front of the jury. Mm-hmm. So the jury, she looked at the jury straight on. The jury looked straight on at her for the entire 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So when you do that, that causes a sense of familiarity, can create likability, compassion. Now in Lori Vallow's case, it's a little different because her outward expression, she wasn't as good at hiding it or stone facing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all her smirks and her contempt and rolling the eyes and smugness all came through. And I think that jury hated her. Mm-hmm. I think that they hated her from the very beginning. And I think it continued when they heard more and more evidence. But I do believe that there is a rise. In fact, I think you see that Dr. Phil even he's already finished his last show. I've been on the show 3 times. And also on his fill in the blanks broadcast that he had. And what he was talking about is that there's such a deterioration in families, that families are the society is changing and it's not going in a good direction. Yeah. So he's literally closed down his show, and he's taking a new direction mm-hmm. to focus on that. I'm not sure what it is, but I think there's a real problem in it. And I see it all the time because I have some of these kids that are coming to me because their parents are looking for a coach because in body language, help me to help my kid to be a better communicator, to make better eye contact, to know how to have better interpersonal skills, to interview for college. These kids don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really scary. And it creates this kind of antisocial personality, dissociative personality. So I'm seeing a real rise in some mental health issues. And I think that's what's going on here.
Something I wonder about with that is the way that we communicate with one another. So much of it is done through texting, through literal, not pen and paper messages, but emails, texting, things of that, where it's words on a screen. It's very easy to lie or be deceptive in that manner versus over a phone call versus face to face. And it would be for anybody to do little, things here and there, maybe adjust this so you don't hurt the person's feelings or so you can get away with something this way or that way. And then eventually, you do get face to face with them, but so many lies or little mistruths have been told, and then you still have to run with it. And kids are conditioned to be able to do this from a very young age. So as they get into an adulthood, and this is what they've been doing their whole lives, it's like we've almost groomed these kids to have this ability to tell these lies, which is what they are, little, small, some are big, but they have a skill set to do so, unlike any other generation has had in the past, because of their ways of communicating from a very young age. Is that something you think?
Yes, and I tell you what, it's so concerning to me too, Tony. I mean, it doesn't keep me up at night where I can't sleep, but it does energize me to help to figure those things out so that I can help parents. Like for right now, my major focus is on helping schools and teachers and people that work in large organizations, and they have, we've had people that have lost their jobs and gone in and they start shooting people up and stuff like that, to identify what are some of the signals to be looking for, mm-hmm. right? So my focus has really been more on threat assessment of what is the demeanor, the language, like the manifestos, the blogging, the text messages. What can they tell about us? For example, we have come so far in AI. We know that any sort of contempt, anger, and disgust language that anybody posts are precursors to imminent violence or to others or to others to themselves. And there's also demeanor that we look for. We're looking for anger, disgust, and contempt, those expressions also in a face when they're talking about other people or maybe it's another teacher or a person they don't like or, whomever. We are getting really sophisticated in being able to detect that. And so that's where I'm at. My heart and soul right now is focused on how can I help schools identify who these children are that are dissociative, who these children are that are showing signs that there could be something going on at home, because we know that things just don't show up immediately.
Sure.
There's always something that builds up to it. And teachers know this better than anybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So what are we doing about it? So if you look on my website at susanconstantine.com, you'll see there's a whole section just on threat assessment. And I've partnered with Dr. David Matsumoto. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is famous in how to developing the micro expressions. He was one of Dr. Paul Ekman's favorite students and then became a partner, and then they spun off. So I'm actually a licensed trainer for him. And then I put together a program how people can identify this, because we're seeing this in churches, we're seeing it in schools, we're seeing it in corporations where you get an angry former employee. We've got to do better. We've got to do better in these exit plans and also to dealing with these children that obviously have got some mental health issues. And so it's my job, I feel, to help people to identify what to look for and then what to do about it. Because, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there was a killer that was here in Tampa, just an hour and a half from here. It was a couple of years ago. And this guy was walking up to people just during the day and just, boom, shoots them dead right in the middle of daylight. And there was four killings, like within a very, very short period of time, like in days. And they're going crazy. Like, who's this person? You know, we have a serial killer on the loose. So they ended up having some footage of a person they thought that could be a suspect. And the media brought it to me and said, you know, can you profile who this person might be? I mean, not literally who it might be.
Yeah.
What are the characteristics that we need to be looking for? So I talked about his stride, his movements, his gesturing, because you could see how he was moving. You know, everyone's body language is like a DNA footprint or fingerprint.
Sure.
Because we all have our own movements, our gesturing, our idiosyncrasies, the lengths of our strides, the way our feet plant themselves on the ground. You know, those are all indicators. So when I saw this, I said, okay, here's what you're looking for, blah, 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 blah. And I went through the whole thing. Well, anyway, a tip came in saying, I think that there's somebody that I work with, I think it was at a McDonald's, that meets that criteria. Do you know they found him and arrested him? And boom, we got a serial killer off the street.
Wow.
Body language can save your life reading people.
Mm-hmm.
And my greatest advice to everyone, and I said this when I was on Dr. Phil on the Chris Watts case, is that we need to, when we see the signals, and what people don't generally do is they don't respond. They explain it away. They make excuses for it. They try to give some plausible reason why something's that. And I'm saying, when you see the signs, they're signs. End of story.
Yeah.
It's just like, forget the emotional part of it. You have to get away from the emotion and the attachment and look at things logically.
Mm-hmm.
Does it fit? Does it make sense? Is that behavior off a person's baseline? Is there something unusual happening? If you answer yes to any of those questions, then you've got a problem. Now it's up to you to figure out why that is, and also to protect yourself and people around you.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
I want to continue our conversation tomorrow with Susan Constantine, so be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss that. I want to talk more in the area now of applicability, maybe that's a word, I don't know, of the application of everything that you were just talking about. We can identify, what do we do with it once we have identified some of those traits? We'll get to that tomorrow. Press subscribe so you do not miss that. If you want an ad-free experience, check out Apple Podcasts and become a premium subscriber right there. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.